Yo, cubole. Well, this is Joaquin Muerte from the Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast, representing Los Nahualatos, representing Eddie in the Valley, representing the San Antunes, representing San Antonio Texaslan, giving a shout out to our newest sponsors, Radio Tierra in the house. They are releasing an album November 22nd. The album is called Human Music. Radio Tierra, representing for our homegirls and our homeboys. Yo, 7 tracks of human goodness. Yo, check it out. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, the band is Radio Tierra, and the album is called Human Music, being released on November 22nd on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Google, wherever you can find it. Man, you know what? Do me a favor and just Google it. Googlealo. You know what I'm saying? This is Joaquin Muerte from the Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. Y'all, peace. Yo, Cubula, and welcome to episode 7 of Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. This is your host, Joaquin Muerte. What up, and what the damn deal, y'all? San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, New York, Los Angeles, hasta Anca la Verga, dude. We're here, homie. And we're freaking talking the truth. We're talking and telling our truths. And we're doing it in a way that a lot of people ain't even ready for it. You know what I'm saying? This is Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. That's what's up. Anyway, yo, man, I know, I'm sorry. They don't come fast enough. You know what I mean? That's because I'm a pretty busy vato. You know what I mean? And I get down with a whole bunch of homies. Doing music, and then I work full time, you know, doing all kinds of things. But this podcast has really opened up an opportunity for a lot of people to come and tell me their stories. And so I've been getting and gathering a lot of stories. And so I'm always excited to be able to share these stories with y'all. And I'm also very grateful for all the people who listen, who follow. I don't have everything. I don't have. So the Chicanx vs. Aliens is a hashtag. XICANX versus aliens. Chicanx versus aliens. The X in the front and the X at the end. It's a hashtag. Hashtag Chicanx vs. aliens. If you want to find me, it's at Joaquin Muerte. Joaquin, like Joaquin Castro, Joaquin Phoenix, Joaquin, J-O-A-Q-U-I-N, Muerte, M-U-E-R-T-E. That's how you can find me. And that's where I post all my updates and all kinds of things. Look me up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I ain't on anything else. That's basically my social media. And, you know, I do a lot of my band promos and that kind of stuff. But hit me up. Look, that's where you can find me. I am releasing this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful interview with my man, Kra. Chris Malacara, a.k.a. Kra. Now, this dude has always been a special dude to me. I went to UTSA with him. He was a UTSA music student, music teacher, and then graduated and became a music teacher the same year that I was supposed to graduate, but I ended up dropping out. I dropped out because... Let me tell this story. All right, hold up. Okay, so the story went like this. I was dating a wonderful person, audio organizer, wonderful people. She had back issues, and I've always known that I had a don for healing. I had a thing for healing, and I remember one night we were talking about her back, and she said, "Look at my back. Touch my back and really just, you know, check out the bend in it." You know, she was born with some kind of spinal issue. And I remember spending that evening just like rubbing her back and checking her back and finding it. And I remember the next day I woke up with a back issue. So, you know, whatever, I can't confirm that I have, you know, scientifically prove that I have any kind of like healing powers or whatever, but this is a continuing issue with me. And she had a back problem. I almost instantly got that back problem. And when I went to the hospital in the emergency room, they said, hey, you have, looks like it has a sciatic nerve issue. I couldn't walk, I couldn't get up, I couldn't do anything. I was walking around limping and hurting, and I ended up dropping out of UTSA. But while I was there, I, you know, before the hurt and the pain, I met my homeboy Craw. So I disconnected so much, and I, you know, I, of course I had all these people on my social media, and Craw was one of them, and we connected through a homeboy, Abraham Bush, homeboy. He had a band, and he had Craw and a couple of the homies playing the horns. So when I was looking to get horns on the Nahualatos tracks when we were recording our second album, I asked him, and then I met Chris. So me and Chris connected, and we did it. We connected musically, and that's how it all kind of went down. But then we became like homies, and he started to tell me a story. One day when we were traveling, after like a kind of a small tour through Dallas and Houston, we got to talking about his situation, and he told me this amazing story. And I wasn't even thinking about doing Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast, but of course I had to always gather these stories. When he told me the story, I was stoked. After I actually started doing the podcast, I thought, yes, of course, I gotta get Craw's story. So, yeah, I decided to finally go and interview the homeboy, and he brought out a bottle of gin and a couple of drinks of soda, and we sat down and talked. And of course, you know, Craw's not a big drinker, and so he told me this story, you know, basically how he remembers it. And the emotion in the room was so lifted. I can't even begin to tell you, but you have to listen to the way his voice changes in this episode. He begins to just basically shake. His energy completely shifts. He's near tears. He's sweating. I mean, it just becomes so intense. The conversation becomes so amazing. It gives me chills as he's telling me this story, and I hope it works the same for y'all, but I believe this dude, man. How could anybody get so emotional in that kind of a way? So, Craw, man. It was amazing when I first heard it. And so, what I'm going to share with y'all was basically 100% real. But of course, I started it off with a kind of little warm-up because, you know, that, you know, it's hard for folks to just start to go from 0 to 100 talking about you know, their own personal existence within their phenomenon or their own personal experience with anything. And so we started off with a kind of little warm-up about the idea behind indigenous land, recognizing our indigeneity, you know, what it is to be indigenous, what it is to be Indian, what it is to be native to Texas, what it is about white colonialism and white supremacy. I think these conversations are gorgeous, you know. This is what it's about. And as a voice of color, we have to recognize that these are kind of things that we are going to have conversations about whenever we start to open our mind, even when it comes to, you know, UFO abductions or, you know, spiritualism, you know, third eye existence and psychic empaths and that kind of stuff. These conversations have to happen because as an indigenous people, this is something that we recognize as part of our own personal growth. And so, you know, this is the conversation we began to have. And It's good. It gets good. There's a lot of cursing, so whatever. We were getting deep, and I didn't want to like I didn't want to turn off the recording. I wanted to like continue recording. But yeah, let's just get into it real quick, and then we'll kind of hear some shout outs from the sponsors, and we can talk about merch and the next episode and that kind of thing. So yeah, let's check it out. Word.
You can't just take the status quo scenario that's fed to you on a white dish, because right now the current controllers are white people, and they're controlling their own blood, and they're leading them down false alleys, and they're also poisoning them with the same food, the same water, because they are being controlled by either an alternate species, an alternate mind.
Well, possibly, but you know, the other thing too is that like they set up their own fucking... They've set up their own
set
shit.
Set up their underground. If they're well, know, up underground shit and stuff like that.
Well, there's this other conversation that I've been talking to about. I've been kind of humoring the idea that that Nazis and Nazi technologies have been building up Nazism and Aryanism, right? This whole like concept of their white supremacy.
As soon as they came to America, yeah.
Yeah, as soon as, and there's like this like, you know, there's this whole concept of like underground Antarctica conversations, and how they've been like slowly influencing white America to bring that shit back, which is one of the reasons why we're in the fucking shithole that we're in right now, right? And so like, dude, that's something that I've also heard too, that it's like an intentional white supremacist build up, and right now we're like in a moment where it's all happening, which is like, it all has to connect with the Second Amendment, man. Like this whole Second Amendment right to bear arms fight that says like, hey,
they don't want us to fight back, dude.
They don't want us to fight back, but at the same time, they want us to not have a connection to our warriorism. Like who are we as strong people? Well, we don't have strong people no more. What we have is weak ass people shooting fucking guns, and so that's what we have to work with now. Because all these fucking nerd ass nerds that are killing off all these fucking people, they're all fucking. They were all these fucking,
dude,
like
that. Shit goes to another thing, because it's like they're brainwashed, dude. People don't understand it, but like we've been looking into brainwashing for a long time. And if you look at the LA yeah. shooting and stuff like that, the guy who's on the elevator with packages of guns just walking through everything, and he's just
the
like
the Las Vegas shooting.
Yeah, and he's just like,
yeah, dude, he's a fucking, yeah, he was a,
he's
he
a
was,
fucking
dude,
zombie,
determined
dude.
As hell. He
no,
was determined as hell.
He's a zombie, dude.
Yeah.
He's just like a, no expression on his face.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't even remember the shit they do. Like the guy who apparently killed Ted Kennedy was just like, what?
That shit was swept under the rug like Rowdy too, man.
And then like,
the people
like
that killed John Kennedy.
An 8-bullet gun, but then there's 13 shots found in him, and then somebody just says the guard shot him. And then the JFK killing, when somebody like, there's a video, there's an angle where like his wife actually
puts the brains back into
and shoots it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
she
well,
looks for the bullet, and that's, she's not looking for like, she's looking for the bullet because she saw that it ricocheted out of his head. But she did the like the,
yeah,
she's
oh, yeah,
like, are you okay? Bam, and shot his head.
Of course, that was just a warm-up to our conversation. You know, Craw had a story to tell me that was pretty amazing, and I was having to basically bring it right back up. It was something that he had told me some time ago, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, and then I was having to have him bring it back up. I had asked him to do that for me, and he, of course, you know, it took me some time to actually get to sitting down and conversating with him about it, but I had to warm him up. You know, we love to talk about conspiracy theories, and including my homeboy Andre Bates and you know, El D. Rodriguez, who you will see that we had a conspiracy theory roundtable just a little later, and I'll be publishing that soon, so stay tuned for that. But I got into it with him, and we, you know, we usually go to his house and we start hanging out, we rehearse it, and you know, with Los Nahualatos, and then we have a conversation about stuff, like whenever we're chilling, it always just goes crazy. But this time it was just me and him alone. It was just me and him sitting in the room. I turned on the microphone and we started talking about this, and it got very intense. It got intense on its own. You know, I didn't push any questions. I didn't make him feel any uncomfortable. He just kind of started bringing it all up. And of course, there were some things that he couldn't share with me. There were some things that he could I was grateful for whatever he shared. I want you to just kind of, if you can, listen to the tone of his voice change. Carl's a very special dude to me, as a friend, and it was very difficult for me to see him to get uncomfortable the way he did, but it was all on his own. I couldn't help but feel like I completely understood and felt his the feeling of his mystery, you know, like what happened. It happened, and he believed it happened. And I couldn't just brush it off. It was like I believe you, Carl. And that's pretty amazing. So this is the interview that we had between each other. It's pretty amazing. Check it out. So I want you to tell me about the green flashes. Tell me where you were going, what you were doing, where were you on your way to?
Okay, so essentially what sparked it all was I was at UTSA at the time, and I would stay there late at night and just, you know, practice instruments. As soon as I would drive home on 1604, I would pass SeaWorld, and that was like the first green flash that I recall. And I remember it was like a long, it was a very cloudy night, and it almost looked like a laser beam was shooting up, turning the clouds green from SeaWorld. And it wasn't like a, it was as bright as lightning, but it looked like a laser beam that was probably like 2 seconds long. And it was just like, and then it actually sparked, like the laser beam lost power, flash, flash, and the antenna turned off. And that was like the first time I saw something like that. And I lived right by SeaWorld. And I would come home late at night, and I saw that once. And I remember like being like, and I remember like not going home, like driving around it and looking to see, you know. And you could like confirm that at SeaWorld, at all times of the day, there's like some rent. They say it's the ice machine people because they're working at all times. But whatever the case is, like there's always something going on at SeaWorld at all times of the day, you know. And like, you know, this is a very military city. And like, I know that like SeaWorld and Disney are like of the same, the money, it flows like through the same
entertainment,
pockets.
Yeah, like entertainment.
And then yeah. I would continue to see green flashes around that 1604-ish area. And my original theory to this day is still that it's, they're solar flares from like the sun, but they could also be, you know, they could also be exploding power boxes, and they could also be, you know, I guess secret government military projects. We don't know what they are, but there's a lot of them that happen in San Antonio. And it's not just me who sees them. There's a bunch of people who can confirm that they've seen green flashes.
So tell me about the moment where you felt that the green flashes had made a change in who you were.
So there was definitely like a period where like these storms were like increasing in San Antonio. Medina Lake was like dried up. And I remember like in about 3 days, there's this like storm that ravaged on. It filled up Medina Lake in 3 days. So towards the end of that storm, I remember I was driving home, same story, but like the storm was just particularly bad. It actually like made me miss my exit. So instead of turning on military, I didn't know where my exit was because the storm was that bad. And it was a bunch of lightning, and I could kind of like already like tell that I was probably gonna like get interacted with green lightning. And
you just got a feeling.
I had, actually, Facebook Live, it just came out, like, I think the day before. And I had my iPhone on me, and I turned on Facebook Live, and I kind of documented this, like, crazy excursion where I'm driving in my car, and I'm like, the storm, like, makes me miss my turn, and, like, it's, like, the perfect, like, blanket where you can't see anything in front of you or behind you. And then this giant green flash occurs, like, literally right next to my car. And it was like this, almost like this natural, glowing, living, like, light that just, like, bursted. And I was like, there it is! Green lightning! I'm not crazy! But then, like, another one happened, and then, like, another one happened. And then I remember my car actually got, like, you know, I say it got struck by green lightning because what I saw was this black and white flashing on my windshield. And as soon as that happened, it was like black and white for like a good like 10 seconds. And like, I'm still driving like 40, 30 miles an hour. And this black and white flash becomes so fast that it actually becomes like a green flash. And it just like completely sent my senses overboard. And I remember after that, just like being enveloped in this world of green, where I actually kind of went a little crazy and I heard voices in my head, almost as if I was being like telecommunicated by some like alien or some like covert technology that was like trying to like talk to me. So it was a very scary thought. And I actually was able to kind of like have this out of body-ish experience where I could see my own eyelids. I could see like my eyes itself. Maybe it's because the light was so bright, but somehow I remember I was able to see like a 360 of what my eyes looked like. It was very insane.
You mentioned to me one time that after that had happened, you can only see like green for a little while, right? Like you're like, if you had kind of semi been a little bit blinded by the light.
Yes, I was definitely blinded in like a weird sense. I remember I had to like pull the car over and like try to regain my senses. And then I remember seeing like this truck speed past me. It was a city working truck. And this is like right by the prison that's by Southwest High School. That's where I pulled over. So around there, there's like a little lake, a little body of water. It might be like a farm or something, but that I go back to that spot now. And then that was like the exact spot where like the lightning like hit my car. So it was a very intense situation. And after that, it just kind of put me on this like spiritual journey. And in hindsight, I look at it and people have described, and like, I guess it's like them trying to like convince me that what happened was like my car wasn't hit by lightning, but it was a power box exploding. And that's like the most logical like reason that I can like think of to like kind of like relieve this like idea that like somebody was trying to like brainwash me or at least communicate to me. But it was a very magical experience even before like the green lightning struck. Like I remember like saying some crazy things because I felt like I was already going back in time. I felt like I was a kid again. And like I remember saying, it's even on the recording, but I'm like, it's just like old 1604. And I said that because I just at the time I was like brought back into a moment when I was a child driving on this old rugged 1604 road. And it didn't look the same as it used to. I mean, I guess I was kind of in that area where like, you know, Southwest High School is kind of like old and rugged still. But it definitely brought me back to this like surreal moment when I was a kid. And like this, like the rain that like covered my car, like you could see like the reflection of the sky because all of the road was just like covered in like this thick layer of water. So when the flashes would occur, like the entire street would just like, you know, shine the light of the lightning. And I do remember when confirming it was lightning because I turned my head when it was striking my car and I looked to my right, and through the hills in the distance, you could see a winding green dragon laser beam coming from the sky, which like completely confirmed to me that this was something from like, you know, nature itself, or from the sky at least. It was like a sky dragon. And it really felt like, you know, like a winding dragon twisting in the sky, ripping. And I remember like as soon as I pulled over and like regained my vision, and I heard like all these bugs chirping and like the smell of like really, really deep burnt, almost like a fungus smell. And I remember, you know, saying that like, you know, I guess like the insects like lightning because it creates like carbon or some kind of growth for them. But I don't know if there's any scientific proof behind that, but I do remember that after the storm passed, and like, because it was a fast moving storm, after it passed, I remember like all the insects outside were just singing. And, like, the world to me never seemed more beautiful than that. After that moment, I felt like my eyes were, like, reopened, and I gained a new appreciation for all types of life itself. And it was a very humbling experience, and they kind of set me on this crazy journey that I had to kind of lay to rest for a while. I became like a, I was pretty crazy, man. I went to Target like the next day, and I remember like buying like all of my, I was a teacher, but I was living at my parents' house, so I had money to spend, and I spent like $600 on soccer balls, baseball bats, Nerf guns, vitamin waters, like all kinds of random gifts. And I just went around to like my friends and to like random people, and I would just give them soccer balls and Gatorades and play them songs on my ukulele. And this is all documented on my first, you know, year as a teacher on Facebook. But ultimately I had to calm down for the best, because I knew I was going some kind of crazy.
Okay, I remember you mentioned that, like, after you had seen the green flashes, like, as you were kind of, your eyes were kind of readjusting to regular light, that you had kind of seen some patterns within your own, like, eyes. Like, that, I think that you had mentioned that one time, and I think that was
a different occurrence. Like, this is like the start of a series of weird mystical events that happened. Because after that, I remember it was like the last 3 weeks of school, and the rain kept on going, but there was this one time, I think it might have been the last or the second to last day of school, I just took a drive down the road. Instead of going home on 90, I went the other way, kind of towards Houston, and I remember for some reason the clouds, it was all sorts of weird at the school. I don't want to get like too into it, but I was basically like seeing ghosts and stuff, and I was like kind of messing with like what I thought was magic at the time. I kind of believe that everything that you do is a chess move, and it's measured, and if you kind of like move through the right combinations, you can summon different entities. And at my school, there was this very interesting like abandoned farmhouse in the back, and after doing like, I was like moving stones around the school and like in my room, and I would like fall down, and then like I would like have to get up in like two moves and like get out, and then it would like start to rain as soon as I get out. So like weird things were being triggered. And then
did you feel like these things would be being told to you though?
Yes, I felt like there was definitely like somebody telling me what to do. So I was just like kind of like following through, and then it was like, I thought I was doing something, I guess I was just like, kind of like, it's like that first reaction, that like first choice. And I've always believed in this. It's like, I'm an improviser, right? So like when you improv, it's like you take that first second thought, that split second thought, and you run with it. And then you have to like keep on. So like, I guess in a sense I might've been improvising, but at the same time, it was definitely like this crazy, like, oh wow, well that improv just like made this happen. And then it was like improv with movement and sound and all types of thoughts. But then I actually like remember seeing in that little abandoned farm, like a gray being, like kind of like emerge. And he like looked at me and he was like, what are you doing? And it was like me talking to like a literal ghost at my school. And at the time, like I could see why, because I was turning a lot of spiritual heads, all these like kids who had no guidance. I was instilling in them like a sense of direction, or I was doing something to them. I was either like putting like a sense of fear or a sense of direction in them. Either way, it had weight. And when I was moving these certain moves that were like told to me, and as soon as I like saw this like black figure, like shadow figure, I looked in that direction and I was like, I want to help you. Like, let me help you. And like I didn't get like any kind of like real answer. In a way, I feel like we're all tested and we're all measured, and I feel like sometimes like your thoughts already answer the question before your actions do. So in that sense, I feel like they could already tell if I could or couldn't help them. But regardless of the fact, I took a long drive down a road that day, and I saw in the sky these, like, the clouds were rising in a very interesting way, where they were creating diamonds in the sky. And the diamonds that they were creating were encasing these people. So it was really crazy wind, but it was definite triangles and diamonds in the sky. And I could see that there were these Buddhas or people in them that were showing me these like hand positions to like channel different energies and different chakras. And I remember like looking at those hand positions and trying to like remember as much as I could, but I'm driving on like this road going like 60-70 miles an hour. That's like one of the fastest roads in San Antonio. And I remember getting to this point where as soon as I realized what was happening, and as soon as I realized the grandeur of this, like the clouds are literally telling me, like, these are like super secrets and you need to remember this, like my excitement level like rushed, and I remember like almost like blacking out, and I saw like this, I mean, I was still conscious, but like my vision went away again. And I remember like before this even happened telling kids like about the green lightning and stuff, and they're all like, whoa, I can't believe that happened. But they knew I was telling the truth because they could see like the seriousness in my eyes. And then like I black out and I see like this black, you know, screen, and like a bunch of red dots and a bunch of blueprints and crystals that are like being like messaged to me, and like they're basically like telling me like, you know, some crazy destiny stuff. And it's like part of it I'm like kind of like nervous to say, because it's like it's very personal to me, and it's like some secrets that I don't want to like give out, because I feel like if they get into the wrong hands, then they might alter the future. But I do remember being told, like, basically that there's a huge grid of galaxies, and it's almost set up like a crystal, and each galaxy is like a little different, and that some galaxies need to be protected and like kept away from the rest of the galaxies because there is a weird war that is going on, and they're trying to preserve what's good, but at the same time they're just like giving me like basic day-to-day secrets, and they like told me things that I still remember to this day, like phrases. One really important one that I'm not even sure if I should say or not involved a bunch of numbers, and every day I kind of keep that in mind, and I use that, and it's actually helped guide me through a bunch of very hard changes in my life. So it was just a very interesting moment, because my vision shut off and I just saw like red dots and a grid, and it showed me my house. It showed me that, like, you know, in your vision, if you cut your like eyesight into like a four screen, then like they told me like to always look for the things that are on the bottom right. But then a weird thing happened, and when they were talking to me, they like changed their mind and they said, no, wait, everything we told you was a lie. Go to your left. Everything that's on the left. Don't forget, left. And then they just like vanished and stopped talking to me, and I was kind of like, again, pulling over. And yeah, man, I was just going like all kinds of crazy, dude.
That's funny that you say these things, man, because it, like, in a sense, there's a couple of things that I can like connect to what you're saying. Like, one of them is that, like,
it's like everybody has like this like time of like spiritual calling, especially, well, I guess everybody, but I guess the chosen few who like can make a difference, and the spirits can see that you can make a difference, like, they invest a lot of time and energy into like waking you up so you can like lead the people. And I feel like a lot of people have those moments that are called awakenings, and the best I could describe it is like this was my 2-week awakening. And like I remember, like, you know, I was afraid to go to sleep because the green lightning put these like bad dreams that I used to have as a kid where these like little green gremlins would run around. And I remember having a dream where like actual green light came from the bottom of our house and was shining, and like I was trying to scream to my parents like run, but like I had no voice. It was scary dreams that I remember vividly still to this day, but they brought them back to life after that like first initial strike. And I was afraid to go to sleep because I was afraid that there was like actual proof to these like voices in my head, and like there maybe were like actual gremlins or something that was gonna go in and just like, when I wasn't looking, like go and like either take me or like mess with me or inject me with some kind of chip or something. So like I was all kinds of like freaked out, and you could ask my parents, like they didn't see me at night anymore because I would sleep only during the day when people were around and watching me. And then at night, when everybody was asleep and nobody was really watching you, I would get in my car and I would just drive, and I would just wait till sunrise. I would come back home. And I did that all summer until my second year as a teacher. And that wore me out. And I kind of, at a time, that's kind of where I had to learn to stop like believing in this and like really, really try to change. And
you had to turn it off.
I had to like turn off all these like crazy beliefs. But at the time I was going to like different mountains out of San Antonio and like playing guitar, and I was really into frequencies and playing guitar tuned to a certain note. I would like spend like an hour just like waiting, or not an hour, but because I was getting really good at it, but I would find a note that would like move something in my spiritual realm around me, like that would like kind of ring back. So like playing saxophone, like if you play a certain note, sometimes you'll like get another inanimate object to like move and vibrate because you're ringing in its bass frequency. So I'd basically use this instrument to look for bass frequencies to kind of like raise and lift spirits. And I remember I saw the world completely differently, but again, I had to turn it off. And it wasn't until my birthday that just happened a couple of days ago where I saw another green flash with a friend who confirmed that they saw it. And then all these other friends started like talking about green lightning and how they've seen green flashes and green lightning. And it just like re-sparked this like idea and this like kind of mission that I had to kind of seek the truth and find out what not just what's going on, but what can we do? Like, what is man's fullest potential? And like my big thing was a flying machine. I remember like promising to the voice that was like talking to me that like, you know, you don't want to kill me, or you don't want to kill these people because, you know, we have like great technology capabilities. And I remember telling them that like I'm onto this flying machine, and I remember like almost like promising them that like I could do this, just give me a chance. And I remember like them saying like okay, and then like being left alone, like promised them like if you leave me alone, like I'll make this flying machine work. And like I remember like looking at the idea of like actually building a flying machine and how much like it's like being kept from us, because I had an idea to like make a flying machine that would basically use the Earth's vibration and harmonize with like another note and basically just start flying. And I kind of thought that that's what the Native Americans and Egyptians and ancient civilizations were on. So I kind of wanted to harness the Earth's technology, because the Earth is getting faster. So all of the old built technology that was built to harness the Earth's spin is now out of date, because it needs to be either, I think it needs to be smaller, because if it's moving faster, it's getting sharper. So you need to have, instead of pulling out to make it flat, you just have to take off more mass, and then the note will get higher. Anyway, that's getting off topic. But basically, I remember looking at the idea of making a flying machine, and there was a bunch of obstacles in the way. Not just the science, but the political aspects of a human being creating such technology that might allow him to take over the world. I mean, I tell Andre all the time, like, I have an idea of the superhero that wears like a crystal necklace that puts a bubble, a force field around him that's impenetrable by bullets, lasers, anything. If there's a nuclear bomb that goes off, this guy is safe in his bubble. And at the same time, he has been granted the gift of flight, like a board of some sort that allows him to maneuver anywhere he wants to go. With just those two, you could change the entire world. And then my superhero obviously has like extra weapons. Like he has these little metal balls, like little Navi Oracle things that revolve around him, and they help him out by either recording, or they have like, they're like, you know, a Swiss Army knife tool. They can record, they can like laser beam, they can like lift things. So I remember just like thinking of like, you know, because everybody really wants to save the world. Well, not everybody, but you know, we're fed all these like superhero, and we're fed all these stories of people that save.
They have capacities and capabilities that they can use to manipulate.
Yeah.
Things in a way that might help.
And I went off on a huge tangent, but I mean, it all kind of revolves around just like this one spark, which was that green flash. It kind of like added to the madness a lot, and kind of ultimately drove me away from a lot of my friends, because I felt like they wouldn't really understand where I was coming from, because all my friends were like teachers and like very, very,
like,
know,
in the box kind of people.
People that were in the box. And yeah, the day I got like struck with green lighting, I remember like going to a bar and telling them about it, and they're all just kind of like laughing and like kind of like blowing me off. And I was like, it's like, it's for real, I got a video of it. And I would show them and they go, oh, that's cool, man. But like, it wasn't like a big deal to them. Well, and then, you know, I guess in their own way, like maybe they need to have their own awakening. But for me, it definitely sparked this crazy, you know, like I remember, yeah, like every type of conspiracy or every type of possibility, I believed it, and I could like scientifically prove it. Flat Earth, round Earth, tube Earth, giants underneath, aliens, government conspiracies, being watched, laser beams, time travel, not just time travel as going to the future, but like clock stopper time, where like they have people that are like hyper sped up so they can like move in a dimension, or we're just like slow moving statues and they can manipulate the smallest, but manipulate a lot around us. Like sometimes you think like if you like trip or something, like did you mean to trip, or was it really somebody that like put that there, or stuff like that. Also, another interesting thing I was going on in there was, I remember like I would be in like an area and I would move stones all the time. I would like, from that saying, never leave any stone unturned, I believe that you would leave your own little signature on things that you manipulated. And if it was untouched, because I was like a crystal person, and I remember these things were like untouched for millions of years, and then I happened to like pick up all these Herkimer diamonds and like put them in my car. I'm jumping around, but I would like go to these areas and like find these things that were like untouched, and I would move them slightly. I would go to these like abandoned areas that nobody would go to for at least years, and I would like find a stone and I would move it and then like lay it there. I'd go on like running trails and I'd go off the beaten path, and I would find like just little tiny things, and I would like change them. But the crazy thing is like I would experience the same phenomenon at just like changing the future, because everybody has the power to change the future. And as a teacher, you could witness it firsthand. Like I remember, I always say this example, like there's this kid who's getting bullied, and I remember like I just happened to be walking by him, and I, instead of like getting mad at the bully and yelling at him, I like empowered the kid to be a bully back to the bully and to stick up for himself. He was being called stupid, and I was just like, tell the kid you're not stupid. Like, tell him to his face that you're not stupid. Tell him that he's the one that is at a whatever reading level, and you're at this reading level, so you obviously can do more than he can. Tell him that. And then like he was just like, yeah, you're right, I'm not dumb. And I remember like as soon as like that like epiphany clicked in his head, I remember like the world almost flashed in itself, and like there was like a definite change. Like sometimes it's like a bird squawking or somebody dropping a paper, a cell phone going off, but there's some signal that like goes off and like kind of tells you like you changed the future. And I would get that with manipulating the smallest object in space and time. I would be like in this little off the road beaten path, and I would move a rock slightly, and I would hear, like, in the distance, like, a little poof. Like, a little, like, oh, I just changed stuff. Like, a little, like, you know. I mean, there's a million things going on at one time. It's really, like, easy, I guess, to say, oh, that makes my moment significant. But at the same time...
And I've heard that, but I've heard that, I've heard before that, like, if a rock brings attention to your eye, like, that those are meant for you to be in some kind of way. So I can understand it when it comes to, like, sound or even visuals, which, like, okay, if you didn't give a shit and you didn't pay attention at all whatsoever, it's possible that you might not have ever seen the green flashes. But because exactly. but because you were open to it and you were seeing it, or because you were open and you were like and your eyes were ready, that these things happen and they created some kind of change, which you became either an instrument or you are some kind of
it's like the right spot at
or
the
an
right
information
time.
Carrier. Yeah, like okay, who, what, why is this important whatsoever, right? And you've said so many things that make this important. So you were at the spot at the time with your eyes open, with your mind ready to go.
And let me tell you the perfect example of that. There was like a day when I was locked out of my car, and I called my dad, and he was getting home from work, and I was basically trapped in the sun for like a long time, and then he finally came with my spare key, and I was like working out, and I remember walking up to him and just knowing to like look at the ground and to pick up like a stone, and the stone I happened to pick up was, I guess, from somebody's necklace, but it was a red jewel. And like I just happened to stop at the right spot, and I picked up, and I, as soon as I stopped and I looked down, I could like already see what I was picking up, and I gave it to my dad, and I remember like he like had this little tiny red jewel in his hand, and he was like, well, I'm keeping this one. And it was just like, out of all of the places on the street that you could be looking, like a vast blacktop street, I happened to walk into the right spot at the right time and pick up this red little crystal. I was on some, and it really is like, it's an improver's, you know, game, because you can't second guess those type of like spiritual actions. It's like you have to like be on like that first instinct type of level where you're like willing to like, you know, not second guess your move, basically, because that second guess, that could be something else that's pulling you away from your destiny, you know.
Do you feel like your birthday, the green flashes on your birthday, were kind of just like maybe one, a reminder, or two, some kind of a divine message, like something that was telling you, hey, don't forget your purpose, that kind of?
I think it was the second one. And in reality, you know, it could have been many things for many people, because I wasn't the only one that saw those green flashes. Every time there's a green flash, I feel like, maybe there are some that are just seen by one, but I know for sure that those weren't. I mean, for case in point, I was with my friend at the time, Jen, who like saw it and can confirm that she saw these green flashes as well. So it's still a thing that occurs for sure in San Antonio, Texas. And I mean, it'd be cool if more people came forward and kind of like explained what their take is on it, because I've actually seen, and like I support all theories. Like, some green flashes could be exploding power lines. Some green flashes could be laser beams from governments. Some green flashes could be green lightning. And there's like folklore that's attached to each one of those. But the proof is that there is green flashes.
Yes, 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 yes. That was an amazing conversation with my man, Craw, Chris Malacara. You know, that was something that I really appreciated. I'm glad he took the time to sit down with me and talk about this whole thing. He told me the story about 3 years ago, about 3 years ago. Showed me a Facebook Live video, and I couldn't help but feel like the authenticity of the whole story was pretty amazing, and I couldn't wait to sit down with him to talk about it. When we finally sat down to talk about it with him, I mean, me, you know, I sat down, we went there and we were hanging out. He got emotional. He got shaky and his voice was cracking and he was, you know, feeling kind of crazy. And, you know, I can't help but feel like some of those things add to the authenticity of our conversation. Why would anybody get that way about the conversation? And plus, he was recollecting of the whole situation. The video he showed me was pretty amazing, and I can't help but feel like I would love to share that with y'all. That's Craw. That's my homeboy, man. He's a teacher. He's an educator. He's a musician. He's a all-around family person. He is just a good dude, and, you know, things happen to people just like regular people, regular everyday people. And that's my homeboy Craw. The day we had this interview, the day maybe a couple days after his birthday. His birthday, he had a amazing show. Like, it's like he always throws a party at his house with kick-ass DJs and people that do, like, you know, kind of like, you know, not your regular DJ stuff, like hip-hop beat makers. This dude that comes in and does beats out of Game Boys, homeboys that do just, like, you know, just kind of crazy beats and epic, you know, like Sam Shiloh, like, homeboy does amazing beats. And it was kind of, you know, shout out to Shiloh, man. It was they do amazing stuff. And he had a whole lineup of DJs and beat makers and musicians. And then he had a homeboy, Abraham Bush, who was recording the whole thing, and we were all kicking it there, man. And it was an amazing party. After the party started to kind of die out, I went outside and we were kicking it with Andre and Chris and other people. And it was kind of like it was the end of the night. And, you know, people were leaving, people were packing up. And those green flashes came back. And Craw saw them. And, you know, he kind of confirmed that that was his birthday reminder, that the green flashes were here. And we were all there. Some people were there. They saw him and they kind of were just, you know, everybody knows what his story is about, but some of us didn't know, and we were able to kind of like just feel like, okay, Craw, like, you know, that's beautiful, man, and that's kind of cool. He hit me up the next day and said, hey, man, I got some stuff on my CCTV. You know, my security cameras found some stuff in the room, and I want you to come see it. So I went over there, like, immediately, you know, because, you know, Craw lives about 2-3 blocks away from me. So I said, all right, cool, let's go. I went over there and was just blown away with the footage. There was basically a very intelligent apparition moving in and around his house. There was all kinds of, like, moving energy. There was just all kinds of crazy video footage that he had caught. This was right after his birthday. The footage was amazing. I'm going to publish it on my Patreon, and you can unlock that if you want to. Look on my Patreon, and you can find out how ways to unlock that. By supporting the Chicanx versus Aliens podcast. But, oh my God, the footage was just throwing me off. Just so amazing. I'd never seen an apparition like that. And I don't think that I've seen anything. There's been some good footage on YouTube, but it's pretty amazing to see what I saw on Craw's CCTV, the security camera. There were some amazing orbs as well, moving in such intelligent ways. But you know what? A lot of people like to, like, you know, brush off the orbs and that kind of thing. And I get it. You know, we brush off the orbs. But the apparition, oh my God. You have to look for yourself. Look on my Patreon. Look up Chicanx, you know, patreon.com. Search Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. you'll find it. The footage is pretty damn amazing. You can also look up Chris Malacara, or yeah, he's Chris Malacara on Facebook. I think on Instagram. I think he posted the footage as well. If he accepts your friend request or whatever, you can probably see it. But I want to give a shout out to my man Chris Malacara for being brave enough to tell me this story. Y'all, thank you so much for supporting Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. Look at my Patreon. If you want to be a fucking homeboy or homegirl, patreon.com. Look up Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. Subscribe to the whole thing. We'll figure something out, man. You know, I'm just trying to make some money. I need to pay off my school. I want to go back and get my degree. You know, all kinds of things, man. I have a family and I'm doing all kinds of crazy pendejadas, dude. Whatever. Hit me up, man. Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. Yo, this is your fucking host, Joaquin Muerte, and that's the damn deal, man. Here in San Antonio, Texaslan. No seas cabrón. Yo, what a beautiful evening. The winter is kind of coming through. Of course, Texas always has kind of a little whatever winter, but hey, man. It's cooling down. It feels good. Yo, man. All right, I'm out, man. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by the Law Offices of Ricardo Briones. Have you ever been arrested? Are you under a criminal investigation? Or are you about to be sentenced? Do you need a divorce? Are you dealing with situations in your divorce like marital properties, child custody, child support? The Law Offices of Ricardo Briones can help you. Ricardo Briones is a criminal defense and family law attorney. Some of these situations can be very costly. And fortunately, this office will work with you on payments. Just visit them at www.rbrioneslaw.com. That's spelled www.rbrioneslaw.com. That's rbrioneslaw.com. Y si habla español.